You see, I'm just coming to remind us of what we knew before. To remind us of what we knew before. And I want to speak to us this afternoon. Knowing Jesus Christ more deeply. Knowing Jesus Christ more deeply. And our text is Philippians 3, 8 to 10. Thank God for my older kids. They gave us the word. And you see, the word of God is very, very important. He exalts his word more than himself. So knowing Jesus Christ more deeply. And brethren, knowing Jesus Christ more deeply should be our highest ultimate goal in life. It should be our highest ultimate goal in life, to know Jesus. Thank God, most of us, all of us, we have surrendered our life to Christ. And we are now a new creature, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That is, he made us to be new by the blood that Jesus Christ shed at Calvary. Thank God, and we praise the Lord that we have given our life to Christ. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop only in surrendering our life to Christ. We will continue to know Christ until God takes us home. We are knowing him more and more every day. That's why we have to make it our highest and ultimate goal, to know this Jesus. Our message, as in that song, Jesus only should be our message every minute, every second of the day. That to know Jesus, because he's the one that gave us life. That's why we are able to sit down and relax and hearing the word and enjoying what God did in the lives of our children. So we have to make it our highest ultimate goal. We should make it our number one and primary priority should be to know Jesus. And what does priority mean? We should take it as most important. You should take it as most important. I'm going to read our text, which is Philippians 3, 8 to 10. But I'm going to read it on the Amplified AMPC. Thank you. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege. That is, Paul is telling us there that he counts everything as loss because Paul, he used to be, he persecuted the church for so long. But when the moment that he met Christ, everything changed. There is a U-turn in his life. And that was Paul saying that the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply, you see, more deeply and intimately acquainted. You know, many of us, I'll pause there, you can leave it on. Many of us, when we are engaged to get married, when we are engaged, and we are waiting for God to join us together. You see how intimately how you are going. Everything you want to do. You want to make yourself look good. You want to hear the voice of your fiancé. Of the one that God has given you. Until before God brings you together. So now also in knowing Christ. We should know him more deeply. Not just peripheral. That is just on the surface. It has to be more deeply. It has to be with the whole of our heart, with the whole of our mind. As you go at long's length to go and say, oh, this is the one that I love. You know, when you love somebody, your heart is always there. It's always there with that person. Thank God that's my husband. My heart is always there. So when either he's at work, I'm saying, God, be with him. Let him be able to perfect all that he's doing. So also, as we have to know Christ, we have to make our heart to be with Christ every minute, every second. And that's how he will reveal himself to us. Because he's looking for a heart that is willing. He's looking for a heart that has all the attention on him. And he will now reveal himself. So I will go further. Where do we stop? With him of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. You may read a particular verse today And that verse, you continue to read that verse every day, like almost 2 weeks. Do you know that the way God will make you to be understanding more fully, new clear vision, new clear understanding, new revelation God will give to you in that same verse? You may have an understanding of that verse a month ago, but this month, God will give you a new and more fuller understanding. That means you are getting more revelation. You are getting more wisdom, and you are getting more knowledge and understanding. So that should be our most priority, to know Jesus Christ and to know him more and more. And we can't know him by not giving ourselves to him. We have given ourselves to him. We have to make sure that we continue to know him every day. You see our children, as they are growing, we are seeing new face of them. The way they used to be when they are 2 years old, when they get to 6 years old, 8 years old, you will see them, you know, getting different. They are getting to understand. They are growing. And you see things in them. You know, when I see them, I look at them this morning, I was overwhelmed because some of them are babies and they are growing and they are growing and they are growing. The same way God wants us to grow in him, from baby, from the time in the womb, that is when we gave our life to Christ, it looks as if we are in the womb. And we gave our life to Christ, we confess him as our Lord and Savior. And then we continue to grow and grow more and grow more and have knowledge of him. That is the way he wants us to aspire. Thank God for all the teaching series in the Sunday, our Thursday Bible study. You know, when we have to say something about Jesus Christ, the devil does not want us to go ahead because he knows that there is victory. He knows that, those hearts that he wants to lure away to him and take back to their old life, he knows that, this person is not coming back, he's not coming to my kingdom any longer. And we are in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we have to continue to know him more and more deeper. And he said, for his sake, I have lost everything. That was Paul. For Jesus Christ's sake, Paul said, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs. He considered the knowledge of Christ to be most paramount in his life. And that should be our focus. We have to consider to know Christ, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Sanctifier, our Healer, the one that is the greatest in the whole world. There is no other Savior except Jesus Christ. There is no prophet that can save us except Jesus Christ. So that's why we have to know him. And he said, he considered it in order that I may win and gain Christ, the anointed one. That should be our focus, that we want to gain Jesus. We want to know him more. We want to know him deeper. We want to get to higher level in knowing him. Can you continue, please? And that I may actually be found and known as in him, not having any self achieved, that is not being proud, not having any pride of our own, righteous that can be called my own. You know, our righteousness is like a filthy rag in his sight. But when we know him, he will not give us his whole righteousness. That is, he's now giving us a right standing to stand with Christ, seated above in the heavenly places. Based on my obedience to the law's demand, he's not going to the law. He's not observing the laws any longer. Ritualistic uprightness and supposed right standing with God does acquire, but possessing that genuine righteousness, that is the righteousness of Christ, which comes through faith in Christ. Brethren, as God has ministered through our pastor, Pastor Chinedu Emmanuel, the righteousness of God, we have to understand it. Thank God for the teachings in every Thursday. It's really giving us a deeper exposition to better understanding of what the righteousness of Christ is, of who Jesus Christ is to us. You took it away. Okay, I will read this one. Right standing, which comes through faith in Christ, the anointed one, the truly right standing with God, which comes from God by saving faith. You see, I mentioned earlier that we have been saved. Thank God. We have all been saved We have known Christ, and our life has been changed. Our spirit has been changed. We now have a spirit that is bearing with the Spirit of God. And that's why when we do things, when we've given our life to Christ, our conscience, that spirit will tell us, oh, what you did that time is not okay. It's because we now have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of us. We have his righteousness. For my determined purpose, that is Paul, and that should be our determined purpose, brethren, is that I may know him, that I may progressively, that is, diligently, I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, and perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. You see, we have to do that. He's saying in that, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege. He considers everything as rubbish, as nothing, non-essential to him. But he now considers it that it is essential for him to know Christ. And as he's considering that, God continued to reveal himself to him. He continued to give him victory. Even if he's put in the prison, he is there with him, making him to be victorious, because Christ in him is the hope of his glory. And Christ in us also is the hope of our glory. So we have to seek him first. As Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You can give me New King James Version. Thank you. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That is, we should seek Christ first. We should seek to know Christ first. Every other thing is now going to be added unto us. A house will be added. Children will be added. Vehicles will be added. A good, comfortable, and wonderful job will be added. You see, but we have to seek him first. We have to leave every other thing and seek him first. So knowing Christ, what does it require for us to know Christ? To know him more deeply. We have to have a desire. We have to covet. We have to want. That is, we have to have a desire to know him. That is, when we gave our life to Christ, we have to continually desire to know him more. Not just one day knowing. Not just 2 days. Every day of our life, as long as we have the breath that God has given unto us, we have to continue to know Christ. So, brethren, we must have a strong desire and hunger to know Christ daily, just as Paul desired in what we read in Philippians 3, 8 to 10. He desired daily to know Christ Jesus, and our Lord revealed himself to him. So when we desire to know him, I'm telling you the truth, he will reveal himself to us. He's not a God. He said he's no respecter of person. As our pastors are desiring to know him more, he's not going to say because he's our pastor and give them a preferential treatment. The same way that we are seeking and desiring to know him, he will reveal himself to every one of us, including the children. So please, let's make it our highest goal to know Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. When we desire something, our heart, our focus is always there on that particular thing. And we make sure we get it. Honestly, we make sure we get it. Our ladies, my young girls, theirs, when you see a nice, wonderful dress in somebody wears, you like it. You will desire, oh, I want to get this dress, and I will get it. You see, you will make all possible effort to get that thing. So also, let's make all possible effort to know Jesus Christ. Let's make it. All those things, they are going to be destroyed with the word. It is true. It's okay, we have to dress nicely. But at the same time, don't let those things be our focus. Look at them, you know, as a secondary. But make it your primary goal. I'm talking to myself too. I make it my primary goal to know Jesus every day of our lives. So for example, when we desire or covet or want to eat a particular food, you see how a human being can go at a deeper length When you desire to eat a particular food, I know all of us, including me, we go to Google. Thank God Google is there. We always find everything. You put it in, it will give you the information. So we now go and research for that particular food that we want to eat. And we do it with all our strength, with all diligence. We get all the ingredients. We get all the food, all the method and everything that we have to use, you know, to go ahead and cook the food. And with all diligence, we'll purchase all the ingredients. Even some of us like me, you want to purchase the one that is good. What do you call it where you go? Organic. You want to get the one that doesn't have, you know, all this pesticide. And then after you get it, you carefully follow the instruction. You can put, thank God for cell phone, iPhone. You can put it and it will give you all the method. Put boil water first. Measure oil and put it there. Sorry, I like food, so I cook a lot. So that's why I'm talking about food. So you put it there carefully. You will now follow the method and cook the food to get a desired result and taste. You will take spoon. You put flavor. You want to taste it and make sure that you do everything just as the method that you just went to search. So the same way, my brothers and sisters, let us desire to know Christ as you go to search for the food. And the food, we have to eat food, because without eating food, you see those, my children, very soon, now in like half an hour, they are hungry. They want to eat. Food is good. But as we eat the food, let's desire to know Christ. The Christ that is more than the food that we are eating. Please, please let us desire to know Christ. So that means in knowing Christ, we must diligently search to know him daily. Please, we have to find time. The society where we are, the contemporary world that we have, it gives us a lot of things to do. But in the midst of that busyness, we too, we have to be wise. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So we have to be violent with our time and say, this, I'm going to sit down and do this. You see, over the night, I woke up like one something. I just felt somehow. So this morning during praise and worship, that was when that thing came on me. I said, okay, because God is going to speak forth through me as his vessel to know Jesus Christ. So that is why you are so mad. I said, you don't understand it. This Jesus that I profess, I am not going back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I am not going back. That song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That should be our song every day. Be decide to follow Jesus. You will encounter a lot of things. The devil will try. The devil will bring shortcomings. But take your stand, because the Bible says you are standing on the solid rock. All other ground, they are sinking sound. No matter what, they can call you names. They can look at you that, oh, you don't know what you are doing. Tell them, I know definitely what I am doing, because I am not going to go back on this Christ that I profess. My Savior, my Redeemer, the one that made me to be here this afternoon. The devil is a liar in our life. That is why we have to face him. Face him, confront him, and say, you know what? I am not going back. I'm going to continue to know this Jesus, and he will reveal himself to me. So please and please, let's make it our number one priority and goal to know Jesus Christ. So brethren, knowing Jesus is not just only on a daily basis. On the day we gave our lives to Christ, amen. But it entails daily work, and until he comes to take us home, we have to continue to know him, and he will continue to reveal himself to us, because we can't know this Jesus. We can't know him more enough. We have to know him more and more every day. Now, what other things does he require for us to know Christ? Seeking require time.
we have to seek him, and this requires time and effort. So seeking through his words. We have to seek him through his word. Through his word, he speaks to us. No other way. Even though it is true, we can read Bible, storybooks and all that. But let this be our primary book that we go to. That is where he speaks to us. So in knowing Christ, it requires us to spend quality time in his presence and in his word. Because when we spend quality time in his presence, talking to him in prayer and in his word, he too, he wants to talk to us. Because communication requires two-way. It's two-way. As we are talking. You see, though, my children, they know in our class, when I'm talking to them, they can do this. I said, please, can you talk? I'm talking to you. And I want to hear your voice. Because by giving me sign language, I can't hear you. So, and thank God that they are able to talk. So the same way, we have to spend quality time in the presence of God and in his word. And he wants to talk to us. He wants to reveal himself to us. So we have to. So consistently studying, meditating, and speaking the word of God. I will read 2 Timothy 2:15. But I'm going to read AMPC, Amplified Classic Edition. Thank you. Thank God for technology. Technology is good. Take the good part, but put the other part that is not, you know, giving glory to God in the garbage. So I will read it. Study and be eager. Study and be eager. And do your utmost to present yourself to God approved. We have to do that every day. That is tested by trial. So when anything comes, because you are standing on the solid rock, you are standing on the word of God, then we'll be able to take, you know, to stand and be victorious. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing. I love this way this version put it. And accurately dividing, that is rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. That means we need to study. King James Version says, study to show yourself approved. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. That is, when we study the word of God, God will be able to speak to us. He will teach us. He will direct us. He will speak, you know, peaceful words to our mind, to our spirit, to our soul, that will make us at peace that, oh, now I have Christ. I know over this particular issue. I've spoken to God about it. And I know when I commit everything to him, he's always able to take care of it. So we have to study the word of God in order for us to know Christ more. We have to spend time in his presence. As the younger kids, as they are growing, you see their mother, their father, they spend more time with them. Thank God for that corner at the back there. And thank God for God, because those are our rooms. Very soon, it will not be enough for us to take care of our children anymore, because more are still coming. Because our God is a God of wonders. He's the one. He said, be fruitful and multiply. You see, so we have to make sure that we spend. So all the parents, they spend time with their kids, you know, taking care of them, making sure if they have to eat, they have to go and give them food and change them so that they will feel comfortable. So also, we have to spend time with Christ so that we can be comfortable. I love that girl. God bless you, all of you that presented here this morning. God bless you. You will continue to grow in grace, in knowledge, in stature, and in the wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see that girl, she just lay down, and she's enjoying herself. And other people, they are in bondage, because you have to do this, you have to do that before you get a candy. But our God is such a precious, wonderful God. When we go to him, when we ask, according to his will, he will do whatever we ask for us. He said, I will supply all your needs according to my glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That is, to his glorious riches. You see that our God is such an awesome, wonderful Father. He gave us Jesus Christ. The Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave us his only begotten son. So what, brethren, what are we giving to him? Are we, you know, like, are we just, you know, squeezing time? Are we squeezing time to spend, you know, to spend with him? Please, don't let us squeeze time. Let's spend quality time. He wants us to spend quality time. You see, thank God for our daddy. I just think about, if you don't create time, I'm telling you, you won't have time to study anything. You won't have time to spend in the presence of God, but you have to squeeze, make sure that you squeeze out that time and study with a quality study of the word and in his presence. He loves us to be in his presence, and he loves to reveal himself to us. It's not something that is, you know, that is so hard or difficult for him to do. He always wants to pour himself on us. And he wants us to have that desire. He wants us to require, you know, to give him time, quality time, so that he can be able to reveal himself to us. So, for example, all our students, I know I have students there. I have my kids there, students, they are students. Some of the other, we are students. So all you students in the sanctuary, to have an excellent success, what does it require for us to have an excellent success? It requires something. What do you think it requires? Can you answer me from that corner, please? What does it require, Anu, to have an excellent success? Can you talk to me, please? Eh? Study. See, study. We have to study. In order for us to have excellent success, we have to study. Make sure you go to the library to study. Make sure you go at night, because the library doesn't open maybe like 12 o'clock. You spend time into the night to study. And make sure you do all your assignment very, very well. And you will see now that you will have that excellent success. Thank God all our children, they are the head and not the tail. Amen. And God is proving himself. So also, in order for us to know him more deeply, we have to spend time, quality time in his presence. We have to study, as the word of God told us in 2 Timothy 2:15. We have to study, and we have to be eager. We have to do our utmost to present ourselves to God, approved, that is tested by trial, because things will come. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing. We will be able to analyze. We will be able to know what when making decision, because we have already spent most time in his presence and he's rubbing his life on us. And we too, we are available for him. And he's telling us, this is the way you should go. Tomorrow, don't go out at 8 o'clock. It's only when we know him more deeply, that's when he will tell us what to do. That's when he will reveal himself to us. That's when he will direct us. But if you want to decide that, you know what? I know what I'm doing. I can do it by myself. He will just leave us. He does not force us. You know, there is something in my adage. When they take somebody to the stream, you can't force them to be drinking water. They have to have the desire. They have to have the willingness to get the water and drink. So we have to desire to know him. And he will now give us the living water that we will never thirst any longer throughout the days of our lives. But we have to make sure that we seek him and spend quality time in his presence. So my brothers and my sisters, the excellent, perfect way in knowing Jesus deeply is by deliberate effort and prayerfully spending quality time studying his word, and it will give us wisdom. It will give us knowledge. It will give us revelation and understanding of him and his word. Now, another thing in knowing Christ, we should be available to receive from him. We should be available to receive from him. Be willing to yield unto his instruction, because he will give us instruction. It may not feel good that this is the way I want to do it, but he will give us an instruction that you will just look at it. What kind of instruction is he giving me? How am I going to go about it? He that gives us that instruction, he will give us the ability to go through with that instruction. All we need to do is to be available. is to be willing to yield ourselves to whatever instruction that he gives us. And also the way God is helping our the parents, all of us parents, you know, he's helping us to give instruction to our kids in the way of the Lord. As we read in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, so that when they grow old, they will not depart from it. We love them to listen, and when we give them instruction, to listen to us. So also, our Heavenly Father, speaking to us through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, through Jesus Christ, our Savior, is willing to talk to us. So we have to make sure that we are available and be willing to yield unto his instruction. Why do we need to know him? Why do we need to know Jesus Christ more deeply? Because he is the only Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Let us read Acts 13:23. You can give me New King James Version, please. Acts 13:23. From this man's seed, according to the promise, that is the promise that God gave, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior. Not only Israel, God raised up for Orange First Care Gospel Church a Savior. And who's that Savior? Jesus Christ. He has raised up for us a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. Can you go to Titus 2:13, please? Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope. Wow. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the only Savior of the world. There is no other Savior. There is nobody anywhere that could say, oh, I will pray for you. I will tell you what is going on with you. Go to him and he will reveal himself to us. He's the only Savior of the world. So Jesus is the only prescription that God gave for sin, for Satan, and the world. That is the three greatest enemy that we have. That is the three greatest enemy that we have. Sin, Satan, and the world. And how do we get saved and get freedom from these three enemies? By accepting Jesus Christ, who has come to save us. He is the only Savior of the world. God brought Jesus Christ to be our Savior. And Jesus Christ came. He did not withhold anything back. He loves us so much. And he went to the cross. He went all the way to the cross. For my sin, for your sin, for the sin of the whole world. So he's the only Savior that we have. Jesus Christ saved us from sins, took our guilt. He took our guilt away and gave us his own righteousness. Imagine that. He gave us his own righteousness. That is, we are able to have a right standing with God. When Adam sinned, you see the pronouncement that got on Adam. But Jesus Christ has come. Jesus Christ has come and he has delivered us from that curse. He has delivered us from that curse that was pronounced. And now he has come. He has saved us. He gave his blood. There is no more blood of bulls, of animals any longer. The blood of Jesus Christ did it all. The blood of Jesus Christ healed us. The blood of Jesus Christ saved us from our sin, from the guilt that was upon us. And he now set us free. That's why the Bible says, if the Son therefore shall set us free, we are free indeed. So he is the only Savior of the world. Only Jesus can say there is no salvation in and through no one else. Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only in the name of Jesus. You see, we sing that song. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can save. Hallelujah. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can save. Hallelujah. Only Jesus can save. Let's go to him. There is nobody else anywhere that can save us.
Let me just give you a story. It's about myself. When I got married, I went through a lot of things. That's my husband. There is nowhere that we didn't go to. We went to a place that they said if I take shower, everything going will go. After taking shower, nothing went away. Nothing. Until I come to the understanding, the deeper revelation and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he delivered me. The same way he said, he's going to Christ as delivered us from the curse of the law. He has delivered us. So only him can save us. There is no shower. You take shower for 3 months. It doesn't do anything. Until you come to the knowledge and the revelation and the understanding of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Holy Savior, the Holy Redeemer of the whole world. There is no other Savior anywhere. Only Jesus is the only one that can save us. He's the only one that can redeem us completely free without any cause. And we too, as he redeem us, as he save us, we have to continue to profess and confess that salvation. I am saved. The devil will bring a lot of things. Ah, you don't remember what happened to you 10 years ago. What were you telling? The Bible says in Isaiah, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, he is doing a new thing in our lives. He is doing a new thing in our homes. He is doing a new thing in our job. And he will continue to bring forth those new things every day by the grace of God. Ephesians 5:23, please. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head of Orange First Care Gospel Church. Amen. God brought, he put our pastor to oversee us. He's our overseer. He's our father in the Lord. But Christ is the head of the church, as he is the savior of the body. He is our savior and is the head of the church. Who is the church? It is not this structure. It is not this building. We are the church. I am the church. And Christ is our head. Christ is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. So we have to understand it that way. Jesus Christ is our righteous Savior, the only Messiah of the world. A Messiah is somebody that has come to give us freedom. To free us from something that is withholding us. To be able to live in freedom. To be able to live the way we want to live. But he has come to give us that freedom. Not freedom to do what we want to do, but the freedom to do his will. To follow his instruction. To follow his way. To follow his will. And what is his will? Is the word. Christ came into the world to seek and to save. He has come to seek us. He's willing to save and seek. He's coming to seek us. And he has come to save us. When we read Luke 2:11, we'll just read a few more. Luke 2:11, and as you go, as we finish, we are going to go to 1 Timothy, the next one. The next one on the... Luke 2:11. For there is born to you this day, that is the pronouncement of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. 1 Timothy 1:15 now. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That was Paul writing there. Now, he has come to save us. Before, we are sinners. But now, he has saved us. And good news. For whoever is here today that you have not given your life to Christ, you have the opportunity this afternoon to surrender and say, Lord, I give it all to you. I give my life to you. I surrender it to you. Just take charge. Luke 19:10, please. Let me open it from here so that because of the time. Luke 19:10. I want us to read, you know, some few more scripture before we. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He has come to seek us. He has come to save us. He has come to give us life and to give others life more abundantly. So at his birth, an angel of the Lord announced to the shepherds that a Savior has been born in the city of David. He offered himself as a sacrifice. Jesus Christ offered himself as a sacrifice, and he became man's substitute. He became the substitute for our sin. He became the substitute for all that the priests used to go into the holiest of holies to take care of the sins of the Israelites then. But Jesus Christ has come. He's now our substitute. 1 Peter 3:18, please. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us. Can you go to 19, please? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. That is, he has put to death the desires, the sinful desires that we usually, you know, crave for. He has put it to an end. And we are now alive. He has given us a spirit that is making us to be alive in unity with the spirit that he has given unto us. That is his spirit. He's making us. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Wait. Okay, Revelation 1:5. Thank you. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. He loves us and washed us from and washed our sins in his own blood. He shed his own blood for us. We'll just leave the rest so that we won't. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. Jesus Christ went all the way to the cross. He bore our sin so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. That is, to the light righteousness, the gift of righteousness that he gave us. 1 Peter 2:24 now. 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, we are dead to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. You see, it's a lot of things that Christ Jesus has provided for us. He carried the burdens of humanity. That is John 19:17. We can write it down. Isaiah 53:4. Matthew 8:17. His sacrificial death is the central theme of what we are saying today, of our preaching. Jesus Christ is the center truth. Is the center of what we are saying now. Is the center of all that all our pastors come to the pulpit to say to us. Jesus Christ is the center. My brothers and my sisters, we must make it our ultimate daily goal to know Jesus Christ every day of our lives. I've already given us a scenario when two people are engaged and all that. He alone has the saving message. Jesus Christ alone has the saving message. Can we read John 6:68? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You see? To whom shall we go? That's a question for us. You have the words, that is, he said, only Jesus Christ have the words of internal life. He's the only one that has the word of internal life. So he alone has a saving message. And we have to know him more, know him deeply so that we can have those saving messages, so that he can reveal the saving message to us every day, because we are going through issues, we are going through everything every day. But he's the only one that can give us a way out of everything that we come across each day of our lives. Now, also, why do we need to know him? I said first, he's our Savior. Because Christ is our Savior. That's why we have to know him. Another reason why we have to know him, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the only way. He is the truth, and he is the life. Jesus Christ said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. We cannot go to the Father. That's why he's seated together with Christ Jesus in the heavenly place. We are seated together with him. And he's interceding for us. So there is no other way. We cannot. No one comes to the Father except through him, except through the Son. Now, when we want to pray, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray in the name of his Son. We go to the Father. And he's making us the blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary. He has made us, because that is why we have that gift of righteousness. And he has that gift of righteousness enabled us to have a right standing with God. You see the opportunity that God, that Christ gave us. He gave us the right to stand with God. He gave us the opportunity to be called on the name of God through Jesus Christ. So he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Knowing there is God, or believing in God, cannot save us. It is true, we know that this is, I know God. There are a lot of people out there, they know God. But they don't know who Jesus Christ is. And there are many gods, but the only true God is the one that we should desire to know, our Father. And the only Savior that we need to desire to know is Jesus Christ. That is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So knowing there is God or believing in God cannot save us. Many people believe in God these days without revelation of Jesus Christ. John 17:3. And this is eternal life. They may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So we have to know him, because he is the only true God. He is the only way, he is the truth, and he is the life. There is no other way. There is no many ways. No many ways. It's only one way that leads to life eternal. Knowing or having Jesus leads to the Father. That's John 8:19 and John 13:3. Can we quickly read it, please? I will only read John 8:19. Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father." So we have to know him. If we want to go, we have to know him. Nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. Because when we know Jesus Christ, we will know the Father. Because the Father and the Son, they are all one. Jesus reveals the Father to us. Jesus Christ is the one that will reveal the Father to us. That's why we have to know him. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Choosing by God to be the Savior of the world. That is 1 Peter 2:4-6. I won't read it. We can write it down. Acts 4:12. So he is the way that leads sinners to God. Jesus Christ is the way that leads sinners to God. He is the truth and the source and the originator of truth. So when we know him, we've known the truth. Brethren, the truth is not our pastors, nor anyone somewhere to promise to pray for us. But Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That is why we have to seek to know him more and more. We need to have the longing to know the way, the truth, and the life personally, individually, not by family. My youth there, my children, because your father and your mother is a believer, is a child of God, does not count to you too. You have to have a personal, individual encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why, thank God, we always minister salvation to the children. We don't look at their age, because they understand. As long as we get to the age of, we know that I don't use the spoon or fork to put food in my ear. Do you think it's possible? But as long as a child knows that food goes to the mouth, they understand. So that's why they don't look at them that, oh, we can't preach salvation to them. Preach it to them. God will minister to them and they will give their life to Christ by the grace of God. So please, brethren, Jesus Christ is the only correct and right way. We need to have the longing to know the way. Children and youth, you all need to know Christ personally. Because your parents belong to Christ, it doesn't count you worthy. You too, you have to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. As we've surrendered our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, we continue to know him from one level of glory to another level of glory.
Another reason why we need to know him, he is the greatest high priest. Jesus Christ is the greatest high priest. Hebrews 4, 4 to 16. We have to read that. Hebrews 4, 4 to 16, please. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. He feels what we are feeling because he has come, he lived like us. Who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we hear today. So we don't have excuse for him. Oh, that pressure was too much. That was why. No, we don't have any excuse. Yet without sin. You see, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So we have to go, we have to long to, you know, that is the reason why we are, because he's the only greatest high priest. We don't need any go-between. We don't need anybody to go on our behalf any longer. When we know Jesus, we'll be able to go because he is our greatest high priest. Jesus Christ is our great high priest who once and for all went to the cross, shed his blood to wash away our sin. We do not need the old high priest in the Old Testament to offer sacrifice for our sins any longer and make intercession for us. He rose and ascended into heaven. We are the priesthood, as 1 Peter 2:9 has said. We are a royal priesthood. But you are a chosen generation. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So he's our greatest high priest. So that's part of the reason why we have to know him, because he's our greatest high priest. Another reason why we have to know him, only through him, healing is guaranteed. Only through Christ, our healing is guaranteed. Isaiah 54, 4 to 5. I know I have limited time. Isaiah 53, 4 to 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Can you go further to 5, please? But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Period. We are healed. He's the only one that guarantees healing for our life. By his stripes we are healed. The wounds he had on his body through the stripes, he healed all manner of sicknesses and diseases. He healed the leper in Galilee. We are not going to be able to go there. That is Matthew 8, 1 to 4. Luke 2, 12 to 15. He healed a man with a withered hand. That's in Matthew 12, 10 to 13. Woman with the issue of blood. Woman with the issue of blood for so long years, he healed them. Two blind men of Capernaum, he healed them. That is Matthew 7, 27 to 31. Man born blind who was outside the temple at Jerusalem. 10 lepers between Samaria and Galilee. That's Luke 17, 11 to 19. Sorry, the man born blind who was outside the temple, John 9, 1 to 12. He healed a blind man approaching Jericho. That's Luke 18, 35 to 49. I am a living witness of Jesus Christ's healing. And if I ask you to raise up a hand, if Jesus Christ has healed you, can I see your hand up, please? You see, he is the only one that guarantees healing. Even all the medication that they are giving us, it will work. The doctors, sorry for all the medical person, the doctors, they are doing trial too. They will try. Let's try this. If they give you Panadol, there's no Panadol yet. That is Africa. If they give you Panadol, you use the Panadol, Tylenol or whatever. That is just temporary. The pain may come again. Don't you know that the pain comes when you take all those pain medications? You will continue to use it. But the only one that gives us guarantee forever that he will give you that healing. And that healing is complete and total, no pain any longer, is Jesus Christ. because by his stripes we have been made whole. Another reason why we have to know him, he alone is the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ alone is the Prince of Peace. There is no peace elsewhere. You see all the nations, they are coming together, making plan A, plan B. That is not what will bring peace. The only thing they need to do is to know Jesus. He's the one that will show them the peace to the whole world. He's the only one that has peace. He's the only Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of peace. All over him is peace. That was why that girl was able to lay down and everybody was walking, they are washing dishes, they are cleaning and doing that. But she's just relaxing and chilling. So too, you too relax and chill because you have Jesus Christ, the only one that is the embodiment of peace. And he will give us peace. With all the news and wars and rumors of war and violence in the whole world, leaders of country coming together, there is only person, the only originator and embodiment of peace is our Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, we cannot afford not to know and encounter Jesus, the master builder of our lives. Psalm 127 verse 1, the Bible says, except the Lord builds, they that are building, they are building in vain. He is the only one. Whatever we are going through, whatever pain that is we are going through, is the only one that can bring forth peace into our heart, into our life, into our soul, into our homes, into every day-to-day activities that we are doing. Jesus Christ is the only one that can give us peace. You see, 1 Samuel 2:9 said, by strength shall no man prevail. We may struggle, we may push with our own strength, but our strength cannot reach anywhere. But when we rely on God, no matter what you are going through, no matter what has happened in our life, when you know and you have Jesus Christ, is the only one that can give us peace. Everybody will say soothing words of comfort to us, but when we are there by ourselves, because that pain is there, but he's the only one that can take away that pain and give us permanent peace. Our day-to-day lives, activities, boldness, strength, and ability must not depend on us, but on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we have to say, by his grace, we can do this. By his grace, I can do this. But sometimes you tell, like, thank God for our sister that spoke in the morning about how do we catch them young for Christ. You say, she was saying that she doesn't make a promise to our kids that she will not fulfill. And sometimes we make promise to our kids. Sometimes we are not able to fulfill it. But our God, the one that gives us peace, is the one that will give us a promise and fulfill it every time. Every time he fulfills the promise. He is the vine and we are the branches. We have to continue to abide in him because without him, we can do nothing. I'm telling you the truth. We cannot do anything successfully until we allow Christ to come into our life. Until we recognize that, you gave me this life, but this life belongs to you. I give it to you, and I'm continuing to know you more deeply and more deeply every day. So he is the vine, and we are the branches. We can read that one in John 15:4-5. There's no more time for me. The branch of leaf cannot grow out by itself. It has to come from the vine, which is the plant. And he is the vine, and we are the branches. So we have to allow him into our life. So my brothers and my sisters, we have to be grounded and rooted in the knowledge of Jesus Christ so that we will not go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world. We have to make sure that we are grounded and rooted in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We can write that in Galatians 4:9. Galatians 4:9, Colossians 2:7, Ephesians 3:17. Why do we have to know? I just went through all that. That is why we need to know him. The knowledge of Jesus Christ, he brings wisdom. He brings knowledge. He brings revelation. He illuminates our mind. He illuminates our soul that we are able to have a better understanding. That is, he exposes better understanding to us. That's Galatians 1:12-16. We can write that one down. The knowledge of Jesus Christ enables us to know the perfect will of God. That's Romans 12:2. The knowledge of Jesus will help and guide us to navigate through the true life victoriously and successfully. He make us to do exploit, as Daniel 11:32. They that know their God, they shall be strong and do exploit. So the knowledge of Christ will make us to do exploit. So in my conclusion, knowing Jesus must be our greatest goal in life. You see that song? That is the song that I will use to round this sermon up. I want to be strong in the Lord. I want to know that I'm His own and trust in Him with all my heart and never doubt when things are bad.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.